We have been studying forever and ever and ever the meat off bones. The meat offering was the fourth of the five major classes of offerings. Remember, it was the trespass offering, then the sin offering, then the peace offering, then the meat offering, and the burnt offering. Remember, the meat offering is, can't remember, but I don't think it's ever offered without the burnt offering. The burnt offering represents man's duty to God. The meat offering represents man's duty to man. The burnt offering is the first table of the law and the Ten Commandments. The meat offering is the second table of the law. To apprehend the meat offering is the single most important offering to apprehend, so that you will have it's the single most important offering that you can apprehend that will alleviate anxiety, because it meets all of your duty to men in every condition possible. And it's primarily what you think about your duty to men is that causes stress and anxiety. If you think about it, that really is at the core of stress. Because the meat offering is probably, it's one of the least misunderstood, the least understood offerings of any of them, is why there's so much stress in the church and in the world. The stress of trying to meet the demands of a job or the demands of a relationship or a family or a husband or a wife are nigh unto impossible without the understanding of this offering. Even though the offering is as unto God, even though the offering is man's responsibility to man, the memorial of it, remember, we studied last time, was offered to God. So what you're doing is really offering it as unto God, and God's giving it back. It's the offerer gives himself as man's meat, however, it is yielded as an offering unto the Lord. One of the fascinating parts about the meat offering, as opposed to the peace offering, is that the meat offering feeds the priests, but there's nothing in it for the offerer. And we'll get into that. There's a secret of the mystery of life is hidden in that simple phenomenon. The first Adam took for man not only what was given him, but he took what God had reserved for himself. The first Adam. The last Adam gave to God not only God's portion, but even of man's portion, he had the first memorial, or he had the first. So whatever Christ did, he did as unto God and not as unto man. Men were benefited, but he never did it as unto man.
Say that again? I didn't even get that when I first started on the first Adam.
The first Adam took not only what was man's portion, but he took God's portion. The last Adam he offered whatever he did it as unto the Lord. Even in his service for man, it was as unto the Lord, never as unto man. There was never a time in which a need was addressed as unto that man. And this is critical, especially at this stage in this body of people. Whatsoever was done was always done as unto God, Because it was done as unto God, man benefited. Okay? Now, remember the priest burnt a memorial of the offering on the altar before it was ever given to the priests. Remember that it was made up of flour, fine flour. It was made up of oil, salt, and frankincense. We don't need to review all those emblems, do we? You understand them perfectly. With man, our ministry or our service, our talents or grace, we always offer them to man and not to God. And that's the reason that man gets tired. We know that we offer them as unto man and not as unto God because we take note and are affected by men's response to it. And this is what will hinder you more than anything else if you're in the position of a Levite or as an elder or as a Bible study teacher. Because you will be affected by their response to you. And the moment you are, then you know that you need to apprehend the meat offering. Capisce? Now the work of the Levites are the work of the priests made visible. And so all Levites are priests, but all priests aren't Levites.
I always thought it was the other way around. Weren't the Aaron and his sons, weren't they in the Levites? Like the tribe? Or maybe not.
The priest.
Say it again, because I'm not sure what you just said.
A Levite is a priest.
It's like there's courses, right? Is that a course of a priest?
Yes.
Okay.
But a priest isn't necessarily a Levite. He may be from the tribe of Levi, but that doesn't make him a Levite. There are priests. Well, that's not. Well, maybe that's not true. I need to check that. Let me check on that for next week. But the point of it is that the work of, remember the Levites were the ones that had to teach the priests half the time. That's what I was trying to get at. The priests were sometimes pretty dumb. And they had to be taught by the Levites, whose work it was to maintain the temple. Now, each of these offerings, each of the types, whether it's Israel, whether it's the church, whether it's, well, let's leave the church out a minute. All of the types in the Old Testament are only so that we can see a moving picture or a picture of what our calling is. Israel is only a type, and it shows a people as a whole that are called out, sanctified, separated. The Levites are a picture of a people that have no inheritance in the land. They have no ambitions or desires for themselves. Their ambitions and desires are pointed towards the service in the temple. But that's the truth of all people. I mean, you understand that? You understand that you're deceived if you think that you have career objectives. The purpose of Levites is to help you see through that deception. The purposes of the priests are simply to be a picture that of what the church is supposed to be. They're supposed to be called out of the world, separated, called by God, separated from man to give back to men. And that's the only time that a believer will ever be fulfilled, when he fulfills that office. So it doesn't matter whether they're living types. And again, that's why I think it's important that we have reinstituted Levites. Now here we have Levites and we have need Levites, and there's a big difference. There's a legal difference in how they're handled. There's a big difference. But the Levites are to be a picture to the rest of us. Now, again, so those are just different moving pictures. Now here we have in the offerings the other moving picture. These are another views, other aspects of the work of Christ. Now, what happens when you get discouraged? What takes place when you don't feel like you have any worth? When you don't feel like your efforts are being accepted? When you don't feel like your position in life has any purpose? What's the transaction? No, well, that's another metaphor. But the transaction is that you have not apprehended the meat offering. Because if for any reason you feel that you have not been accepted or your work, and it sounds real sincere, but in truth it is, all it can't be dealt with except by the apprehension of the meat offering. Do you understand that? Does everybody see that clearly? It can't be dealt with by changing circumstances or
analyzing
it, or it can only be dealt with by seeing Him. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself crazy. All it will do is drive you inward. It will drive you into self until you become just another spiritual black hole. Now, it's this test, is even our most devoted service, what we're really seeking is to be something in the estimation of somebody else's eyes. It doesn't matter who, I mean, as long as it's anybody, if we are seeking to be something in their eyes, then we will be disappointed. We will be ashamed. In God, what happens? It happens the exact opposite of what it happens in life. When we are seeking to be something in the eyes of men because we have not apprehended the meat offering, what's the next step? What does God do? Man would then try to solve the problem by changing circumstances or doing something about it. God puts you in the position that you be content until you're content in the state that you're being. You're in. Do you understand that? Do you see what the difference is? Man will try to change the circumstances. God never will. God will show you contentment in the state that you find yourself without changing the circumstances. Now, that little trick drives Levites wild. I mean, there's always, somebody always wants to change. Most of the time, it's nobody wants to work with either Pete or Harry. That's the biggest problems.
And Pete doesn't want to work with me, and I don't want to work with Pete.
Right.
That's what I was going to say.
Except for tomorrow.
I want Harry to work with me. Tomorrow, I do want Harry
to work. Oh, yeah, now you need something.
A secret desire, an undetected wish, becomes our motivation rather than service, rather than being poured out. Even the very gifts of God and the mysteries of God and His Spirit are sought in order to give us a place in this world. I mean, it's like really evil. Have you ever been guilty of any of this? Huh?
Don't plan this way. I could just learn more about God, then I'd be popular.
What we are seeking is the glory of men and not of God, and therefore what God does is, it just means that there's the circumcision of our heart isn't complete. We've been trying to rend our garments. God wants us to rend our hearts. change nothing, change no circumstance. Now, this is the secret of dealing with problems in the Bible study. If you try to change circumstances, then you inhibit or quench the Holy Spirit of God from working. If you give advice, you hinder the Holy Spirit. Is that clear? It must be clear to all of us by now that God really doesn't give a horse's ass about what we think about something. He cares that we, if you're in a leadership position, that you push the people to the point of the fear of God. Not changing circumstances. Not analyzing darkness. All right. I think I've made my point. This is why God trusts us with so little, relatively speaking. Because even with his gifts, we seek to build an esteem or a plan for ourselves. We build up our name instead of his name. We seek the respect. We seek the respect of the chair. I can't believe anybody would say that. But how unlike this is of Christ or his disciples. We read this before, but in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, neither about men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. And Jesus, in the Gospels, it talks about the many, many priests, nevertheless among the chief rulers, and also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, you know, it's like we are so far from a lot of this that it's sometimes hard for us to see it. I mean, can you imagine, like, in one of the denominational churches where the pastors are changing their and moving politically up the denominational ladder. It's just like a corporate head. I mean, can you imagine what would happen here if somebody, by the grace of God, for a lot of these areas, we don't pay any attention to, but there's still the remnant of it in us that we want the praise of men and not the praise of God. So my prayer is that we let, by the apprehension of the meat offering, and by when it's seen in us, we turn from it rather than murmur and complain, that by the act of turning, that the completion of the circumcision of the heart will be fulfilled. Anybody understand? Now, so our calling is not only to be nothing in the world, but willing to be nothing even among the brethren. When that takes place, then God will raise you up. That's hard sayings.
But true.
Anybody disagree? Anybody want to say anything?
You only get to that point when you see something.
Hmm?
You have to see this for for the power or the change in you to take place.
Well, you have to be confronted with it.
Yeah.
That's why it's being taught, so that, I mean, my job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Then your job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry.
Well, in between this equipping and that equipping, something's taking place here, and that's where the confrontation of these words will hit us somewhere in this little walk.
Well, but where it hits you is in the aloneness, where your motives are being questioned by yourself.
Like even now.
You don't have to be alone.
Or you can be alone in a cloud.
Why did I say that?
Christ's service to his neighbor was always as unto the Lord. You got to hear that. You got to get to that. You got to be willing to be emptied, made as nothing, not only in the world, but nothing among the brethren. Somebody get, we Psalm 10, who's got a Bible? Psalm 109, first four verses.
Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. The mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer.
Okay. He was gladly spent for others, though the more he loved them, the less he was loved. Now he had to go through that in order to be the meat offering. Do you understand that? He had to experience that rejection. It wasn't just at the cross that he was rejected. We forget that.
Yeah.
It was all through his entire life that he was rejected. And any attempts to portray him heroically in man's eyes in his early years are just horseshit. It proves that someone doesn't know the revelation of Christ. Though the more he loved them, the less he was loved. Now, the prayer is that we may see him, that we may be like him. Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Or we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now my prayer is that we can see him in these offerings, so that we will be like him in the steadfastness, the evenness, the equalness of how we minister to others.
When you're talking, you know, I'm not, I think, I mean, no doubt I've had an idea of what it meant to be exalted by God, but, you know, maybe it's long, we continue, I'm not, you know, I think it is not one of those things that is that would be evident to on the outside to anybody, and maybe it's only, I mean, it's strictly only evidenced by, you know, something in here.
It's inward peace in the midst of tribulation. It's inward peace in the midst of thwarted desire. That's a biggie.
So, what an exalted place with God is just, I mean, it's the only thing you can compare it to in the world, exalted places, you know, power and things, but it has to be, it's something totally different.
It's exactly opposite.
I guess this means we won't be getting the red robes and hats and stuff.
You can have one for Halloween.
Kind of got an object lesson going on here because one of the things that, that the doctors wanted me to fill out was this MMPI test. It's a whole, you know, 529 questions. True false. And as I was doing it, I was surprised to see my answers because in the past, you know, I thought of myself as being, you know, a failure and a nobody. And I thought that's why people viewed me. Going from that to now my answers to the questions were, I'm important. I'm important because of the function of being in the body. But I got a jolt tonight when you said you wanted your Santa to, you know, do the daily operations.
No, not do the daily.
See to the daily.
No, no, you misunderstood. No, I want Joysana to be the one that people go to if there's a problem. You're still the daily, you still run everything. Just like if I were here. Except, you know.
It's like if the Levites were fighting or something. Or
like, yeah.
I'm sitting here hearing what you're saying. You know, I'm no more than anyone else here. I've got to, not lift myself up.
Well, but you understand that the difference?
Yeah.
Unless you want, I mean, I'll put you in charge of everything if you want it.
I mean, if anything else, they can come talk to you.
No, it's not. It's a. But it even though that you heard it wrong, it's still the object lesson.
Yeah.
It's
Now you just get depressed about it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's one of those things. If you had to say something, you'd gone out of here with
turmoil.
If you know, we've said this. I've said it so often. It's becoming a cliche. But if our labor is for man's acceptance, when man rejects us, our labor will cease. And you know, and you'll go inward. You'll faint in your mind. And when you quit in your mind, you might as well just. I mean, it's just you can't permit it any longer. Not for a second. You cannot quit in your mind for a second. Today, we had a big battle. It first started out with Justin and Michael, but it turns out they weren't the problem. The problem was Johnny. Johnny had told Michael that, and he made it in some way that he hated Michael and that he wanted Michael to leave the school. And for Michael, that's his pressure point, being abandoned. I mean, that's the point, being left alone, being not wanted is the way. That's his button. And so we really had a neat time, because I mean we were able to talk about a lot of things, and then afterwards I went back in the classroom with Johnny got a hot seat. And it was the first time I think that he's ever been in that position by me anyway, but he was petrified. I mean, he couldn't even talk.
Yeah,
But finally, I mean, I said, you understand that to say that to someone here is equivalent to being in the world and shooting with an Uzi. It's the worst thing that can be done. And I told him, and I meant it with everything in me, I said, unless you can forgive him, unless you can seek his forgiveness from your heart, you're expelled. And you'll have to go to public school.
That's kind of a bullet to the head.
I don't know if I can do it any other way. It didn't take him long for he and Mike to go out in the back and make up and become good.
Mike!
Let's go chat, shall
we? Remember a lot of stuff I said before?
That's pretty wild.
But kids are evil. Do we have any questions?
No. No. Yeah.
Lesson number one, kids are evil.
I'm reminded of what happened last night in Bananas.
Because they're human beings.
No, what happened last night in Bananas is with Tyleen, she was really threatened because she lost her job, but she got another job. She had to move to another place. She's just shaking. She's so upset. And so I said, all you're doing is responding to that small child within you that's still afraid it's going to be abandoned. And I said, if you go to some other place, you'll probably get nurtured in how to bring forth the good child. But here, we're not going to nurture that child. We're going to kill a son of a bitch. But it's like, you know, wow, she was out of it. And she was fine because, I mean, it was, well, what I pray for all of us, I mean, and I don't do that enough, but I pray that we would always have that laser discernment to go directly to it. We don't need to fuck around with this other stuff. You know.
Same lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's tied to this. It's tied to, if I know that every need, every requirement that Tyleen could have on me, or that Johnny could have on me, or I could have on, then I'm free to speak. I'm free to be instant in that season, to say what comes to my mind without negotiating, without questioning it, without trying to manipulate it. And it's sometimes pretty surprising results. But it's all, in the apprehension of this meat offering. Because if you think that they owe you a debt, or that you're trying to get something or some response, then by definition you will add water to the wine, because you'll try to move it and manipulate it. You know, that's I can't tell you how evil that is. Nobody, well, very few, you don't, you just don't do it anymore. Well, what happens? What happens when we fear man's rejection, or we've gone inward because of what we perceived as man's rejection? What happens? It's automatic. It's sloth. Sloth. Can everybody say sloth?
Sloth.
Sloth. Three toes.
Three toes.
Three toes.
This is the sign of universal sloth, Larry.
This is difficult for me to do.
You can't have a brand.
If we can hear this, then even though our service or whatever we do is unrequited, is not returned, or the response isn't the way we think it should be, it won't matter, because we're doing it as unto God. And then we can have the constancy and consistency in dealing with people. Instead of this mealy mouthed horse shit.
Don't do that. That bothers me.
You didn't
know that
me.
It makes my teeth hurt.
It's like clicking.
Yeah.
Where's the blackboard?
Yeah.
The blackboard doesn't bother me.
I know, but it bothers a whole lot of others.
Somebody using a pen.
Okay, the meat offering differed from the other offerings in three major particulars or areas. First, it was a sweet savor offering. That meant it differed dramatically from the sin and the trespass offering. And second, it was fed upon by the priests. And it differed from the burnt offering as well as in its materials. But third, the most important one from our distinction, is that it left nothing for the offerer. The offerer didn't partake. The priest partook. It differed from the peace offering, but in the peace offering, the offerer, the offerer's children, the priest, everybody partook. That becomes the symbol of. But if you're offering a true meat offering, if you're the offerer, then there's nothing in it for you. Now think of the majesty of that. I don't need to go through all those scriptures, do I? Didn't think so.
Hold on, what scripture?
The one about
representative example.
Made of no reputation that you're poured out. You're a bond slave. Okay. Let's go to Leviticus 2 again. I want to show you some stuff. Okay, my little mouth's all confused. I don't want to go out of this until I'm sure that. I mean, it doesn't do any good to intellectually understand this. I mean, if you walk away and 5 minutes later you're back on a trip. So the only way it can be experientially manifested is if it's publicly expressed. Do you really understand it? Do you understand what we've said about the meat offering? You understand about the constancy of the flour, the fine flour, its ground, bread corn must be bruised, that it's not honey, there can be no honey in it. Honey can't stand the test of the fire. Honey is best when it's lukewarm. Honey can't be used when it's cold, and it won't stand the test of the fire. It can only be used when it's lukewarm. We really don't have that one to worry about very much here, but it's still the sickeningly sweet honey. You know it, right? It's sort of, you can sense it when somebody's trying to do it. It's like a con. Slay it when it happens. No honey, but it has frankincense. Frankincense is terrible to smell. It makes you nauseous. To taste it, it's terrible. What is it then? What is the frankincense? It's the hard sayings. The frankincense is the hard sayings that goes directly to it, that passes the test of fire. It has to have salt in it. Salt is the component of eternity. It has to have that component of eternity. What you're saying today must be equally true in all places, in all generations, at all times. If what you're saying to someone is time-based, it can't be the meat offering.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of places that have frankincense-type things happening, but what they're talking about is not
the meat offering.
Doesn't have anything. It's like, you know, they're just being mean or yelling at people,
yeah,
or, you know, something else.
Right. Can have no leaven. And it's always offered, the memorial of it, the first part is offered. It passes the fire, is offered unto God. It's always offered with the burnt offering. It can never be done alone. That's what Cain tried to do. Amen?
Amen.
I don't feel like talking anymore.
I really see a lifetime of trying to get approval and the right response and all that kind of stuff. And I also can see in the times when I've gotten it, it's been awful. It's been like not what I thought it would be. I've rejected it. I've rejected the people that have given it to me. It's been like it's almost, it's not quite, I wouldn't be a member of any club that would have me as a member, but it's almost like if I can get somebody to give me approval, it's like there's something seriously wrong. It doesn't, it's like honey or something, I don't know, it's just weird, but I can see a lifetime of being motivated by...
Do you see yourself in...
trying to...
What's your name?
Kay?
That's what she's still trying it.
Yeah, it's just...
Well, just to give you a hint of what we want to say, I got to just give a little hint, because it's really neat stuff. In verse Leviticus 2, go to Leviticus 2 real quick. Verse 11, no meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Now, in verse 12 is a parenthetical. It's, as for the oblation of the first fruits, ye shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savor. So that's like a parenthetical expression stuck in here. And what we're going to do is compare the first fruit offering with the oblation of the first fruits, and see why they're similar to the meat offering, and see what that means, and see and compare it to the Pentecost offering.
We've never talked about the oblation of the first fruits, as opposed to just the first fruits.
So that's what we'll do at our next meeting. Unless anybody has any questions or problems or whatever.
Well, I didn't understand about Cain. You said what Cain tried to do was offer the thing by himself. Have we talked about that in here?
Yeah, we talked about it where he tried to offer the...
He tried to offer the meat offering without the burn offering.
Yeah, we burn offering.
In other words, by himself. Okay.
When you were talking about, you know, it's like, you know, I was going through this thing, what happens... When you don't apprehend the meat offering, it was like, you know, well, let me just start from some point, I don't know when, but I began to get really nervous, get really, you know, it's like going back to that child thing, that, like you're talking about, the Tylene, and I know what happens when I go into that place. It's that, you know, when I go into that place, that, you know, I'm going to have to do all kinds of things to defend myself, and I'm going to, and so, you know, it's kind of like I could feel myself emotionally trying to go through this thing and trying to deal with it, you know, trying to battle it, you know, with something. Just trying to battle it within, and it part of it, you know, is, yeah, I don't know when it started, but, you know, heard that John Joe Santa got, you know, this whole lot of stuff coming down the morning thing, and it just but it's, in any case, I, you know, it's like the idea of what happens to you when you don't apprehend the meat offering. You know, it's devastating.
Yeah.
And
because you left to your own devices.
Yeah, and I it's like, you know, I don't have an end to it other than I just don't want to leave it unsaid, you know, that, you know, I go through those things, and, you know, that's the point. I don't have to work out the end of it in me. I just know it's there. And I know I can't, it's like, otherwise, you know, it's like you have to do that, pretty soon you have to go back and you have to rewrite history. You have to, you know, have all kinds of reasons, and you know, then you have to have a place that you go to from there, and it's too complicated for me.
The response to fear, and it can be fear of performance, fear of. Not apprehending, fear of. Not understanding, fear of. The feeling of responsibility, you know, it can be the whole gamut of fear. But the responsive fear, at the core level, really ends up being, it really ends up being performance. I mean, you have to...
Well, I know the end of it is going to be murder if I continue in fear. You know, it's, I mean, the thing just came to my mind. I mean, it's either my life is going to be out there, or somebody else's is going to be on the table. And it's, you know, it's like a... Well, it's a weary place anymore, to, you know, because maybe because, you know, all the things that we've gone through, you know, it's like there's a hope in me to get through sometimes the fear to wait on it. You know, not that it's perfect, but I just...
Well, I want you to try to hear this. That feeling, whenever it happened an hour ago or whenever it happened, was of God. And it didn't have anything to do with you. It was for the benefit of someone else. And it was put there by God for the only purpose that you could give it. You don't have to analyze it, you don't have to play with it, you don't have to manipulate it, you don't have to pet it. All you have to do is give it. You don't have to try to suppress it. You don't have to try to think you shouldn't do it. That's the freedom. That's where freedom enters in. To know that that feeling, that whenever, and you know, there was a moment that you knew something was, boom. If something is said at that moment, I promise you that it would have blessed somebody else. Now, what we have to be is so sensitive that we have to feel that we've been bought with a price, therefore we're not our own, therefore those feelings are no longer our business. It's for something else. And that's the freedom from it. Because it no longer makes it takes and it tricks the Antichrist, because it says it makes you know that thing isn't the subject of the sentence. Yeah.
It's a passive, just a conduit.
So that's the freedom from it, not to try to analyze it or to do anything with it except give it. And I promise you, if because that what that does then, it says perfected love has cast out all fear. And the thing that was called fear will be transformed into something else. Same circumstances. But it's the process is one of knowing that it's from God to be given, and that's a blessed mystery when that takes place. I mean, then it's freedom. Does that compute?
That's what I like about things like this, you know, because there's something there. It's like on this side of it, it was like it's total death. It's like, and only faith. I mean, it's like there's no way I can make so order circumstances and have faith in it. Not even by, you know, going into it and talking about it and stuff like that. That's a no faith place, you know. Even though I may, you know, and the way I was looking at it, well, it's kind of a faith thing to talk about it now. Well, it's no faith. Because there's a...
Well, I want you to think, let's put it in this. Let me play the spin doctor and put a different spin on it. Let's assume that Don hadn't been here for some of the stuff. And let's assume that we're one organism, we're one body. And Don happens to be the stomach. Let's assume that the spiritual food was given to us as a body, but for whatever reason it couldn't be digested. And what you thought was negative was gall that had to be given in order that it might be digested. Now, if you think of yourself that this thing I'm going to give is bitter or something, then it will cause the stomach to die, and it will cause all of us to die. And so that's the only way we can think of ourselves anymore, as one thing, one being, one unit, that isn't separate for any reason. It's impossible ever to be separate again. And so anything that comes to you isn't for you to try to deal with or negotiate with or try to figure out. It's simply to be given.
That's like the endocrine system. It drops in a chemical at the right time.
It becomes a catalyst which causes a different action to take place. And that's, I mean, that has to be seen. That's why the analogy of us as a body is so true.
This is tied back into the meat offering, because we don't give those responses because we're still giving our responses as unto man, fearing rejection, instead of as unto God, not caring.
But in that place as unto God, then the Son has set you free. Nothing changed. Still have the same, whatever, same thing might be said, same thing might be thought, but it's transformed because it's given. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
I figured you did.
Oh, well, yeah. Real, I mean, it went from 100% freaked out to starting to listen to what you were saying. And part of it is because since the last time this kind of junk came up during a stealth meeting, there's just things that have been kind of working, you know, in this area about realizing that of reaching the point of Christ is my life and God is it, and He's the one. If I'm crazy, I'm God's crazy. If I'm whatever I am, I'm His. It's Him doing or not doing or whatever. And I get tired, you know, it's being tired of caring about approval.
Well, again, the process of learning that whatsoever state you find yourself in, therewith to be content, is so, it's so universally difficult to come to that place. But it only can come by it's I have learned. And that's the only purpose of time and space in this context, is to learn to be content. I mean, the exhortation has to be that, you know, again, from on the one hand, your future, your Bible study, the whole thing is in your hands. I mean, there's as much there as you want to put on your plate. On the other hand, from God's perspective, is He's searching for the contentment in whatsoever state you find yourself. And so, that's where the freedom is. The other will come, and more than you've ever dreamed of. But not if you're doing it for the wrong reason. I mean, you know, you could go to First Baptist Church and you'd probably get put in charge of Sunday schools or something. I mean, that's, and I'm not saying I'm just saying you've got to see that once the contentment in what state you are in, then there'll be given unto you more than you know what to do with. Not by me. I mean, there's no limitation on you. None. And you have to see that. There's no limitation. I mean, there's no limitation on how many people are in your Bible study. The moment you have more than 10 in your Bible study, then there'll be I mean, that's just numbers, but you know what I mean. Everything is in... You know, nothing would make me happier than to have it Nothing would make me happier than to have you head of a total community that I only see once every, you know, three times a year. I mean, that's what's in front of us.
Yeah.
So please see this as the discipling, as the training ground for something far greater than any of us can imagine. Don't throw it away for some, and don't quit in your mind. That's evil. That's really evil. It's real, 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 real super evil. And you can't negotiate with it anymore. It can't be massaged. It can't be analyzed. It can't be petted. It has to be killed. You understand?
I hear the abandonment of self, and that just makes me feel hopeless. I've heard that for so many years. It's like
it's never going to get it. The only thing that happens is that you repent faster. You're never going to change. You're believing the lie of improvement, of progress. And that's keeping you in prison.
That's a lot of what I do. So I think someday I'm not going to be this way.
But you think it. And so therefore it doesn't go to the fire.
I'm going to think it and don't say it.
Yeah. Now, hear me. It's like you've got to get... The way you abandon yourself is to see just what I told Larry, that nothing that is happening to you has anything to do with you. It's happening that instant so that you can give it to minister to somebody else. It doesn't have anything to do with you. You have to name this as rebellion and not as victimhood. You understand me? Because it's so convenient for you to be a victim of me or of Larry.
Well, it's not anymore.
Okay.
It's really not. I mean, I see it as rebellion. It's not a...
I mean, what happens in the rebellion? The reason it's as the sin of witchcraft is because that's what you conjure in the high place. You conjure a piece of this and a piece of that and this of this, and then I'll change. And that's the witchcraft. Well, you define it rather than give it. I mean, you're free tonight. You're standing perfect, accepted, loved. There's no problem. Everything is done. It's complete. It's finished tonight, now. Therefore, anything that comes onto you is only to be given, never to be massaged. You don't have to work it up, you don't have to write words, you don't have to think about it, you don't have to burn, it doesn't need cooking. Just remember, nothing needs cooking. Can you say that?
Nothing needs cooking.
Okay. It just needs to be given. Instantly. Because it's not for you. You're standing on top of the food chain already. You're at the top of the pyramid, the top of the food chain. You can't get any higher. You can't get any better. And come to me if you have a problem about it. Don't be afraid to talk to me. Okay, take it, big guy.